The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
To the 52nd episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. My name is Dylan, and with me is the hippest man in the room, Glitch.
What's up?
Across the pond is the stupid awesome analyst, John.
Yo!
And of course, the hard man with even harder opinions, Andrew.
Hi!
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 Hello!
Hi!
Were you saying yes in Japanese?
And that is your Japanese lesson for the day.
We're done.
So we all went to the movies this weekend. What did we see, Jonathan?
We saw Big Hero 6.
Yeah. And it was really good.
They Disney-fied the comic, that's for sure.
They did.
But that is not a bad thing.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. It was a really, really fun movie to watch. I thought the movie, the story moved a little bit too fast, but...
Yeah, there was, like, the first 10 minutes of the movie had all the exposition where, like, the characters, like, spoke of things that seemed a little unnatural, like... Our parents have been dead for 3 years, you know, like...
Yeah, and I felt like the characters made friends too fast, but it wasn't... But nothing in the movie really happened so that it ruined the movie for me. I thought it was a great movie.
Yeah, it was a good superhero flick for kids, and
That was one of the problems, though, is just because it's a Disney movie doesn't mean it's for kids. Don't bring your 4-year-olds to a theater.
Maybe even 3-year-olds. Yeah.
Or 2-year-olds.
Was there an experience that you wanted to punch a child at the theater or something?
Almost.
A little bit. He was,
We went to a luxury theater where, like, you pay regular movie ticket prices, but all the theater seats are reclining leather love sofas.
Oh, and you have to reserve them.
Yeah, and you have to reserve them. You have to buy tickets.
What makes them love sofas?
Well, you know what a love seat is? It's only, like...
It's for two people?
Yeah, two people.
Yeah, but what makes it a love seat?
Kind of what we're sitting on right now, Dylan.
No, this is a couch for sure, dude.
if it's a miniature...
Okay, that was too good.
Yeah, if you got 2-year-olds, take them to see Interstellar.
Is that what you saw?
Yeah.
How was it?
I'm still in the theater watching. It was, I don't know, I actually knew, like, nothing about it going into it, which I wanted after I saw the very first trailer, and I thought that was a good way to go in to that particular film.
Yeah.
There's space involved in Interstellar? I never knew.
It was literally like...
That's
the movie
not spoiler free he wanted to be.
I don't really want to say much about it, but the movie is... I think the movie is 2 hours and 50 minutes long, and about 40 minutes they're like on Earth, and then the rest of the movie is like space.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I thought that it would be longer than that.
Yeah, I did enjoy it, I will say that. I saw it in regular theater, I didn't watch it in IMAX or whatever.
Or luxury theater.
Yeah, I didn't have any love seats. But, yeah, it was cool. If you like science fiction films, then you're probably really gonna dig it, and I think they did a good job of, like, making, either using actual real science or making their science make sense, for the most part.
It makes you feel smart watching the movie.
I
could see it being, for some people, like our experience with Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. But
yeah.
It's like, I feel like for some people, like, I don't know if my parents would like that movie, because it really is a lot to follow.
They kind of did that with Big Hero 6, where it was very, very science-heavy. Like, everything was all robotics, and everything was all little science-y thing, but it was Disney-ified where they made it believable.
Yeah,
because they had so many different advanced technologies in that movie. You just kind of thought, well, why haven't we thought of this already? Like, why don't we have these in development? It's like Disney put it in this movie. Why don't we have these in development? They just said it right there. And actually, in the credits, there was like a list of like 10 to 20 different technology robotic schools, including MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, which is like one of the smartest schools on the face of the planet. So they actually consulted robotics and science majors to actually work on the technology in the movie.
They talked to real robots?
They talked to actual robots.
They went to MIT and talked to robots.
Cool. All right, so I guess I guess we should move on to...
Well, I mean, Big Hero 6 was kind of relevant because it's, you know, Japanese...
Yeah, Japanese origin. The movie takes place in San Francisco, and
Japan is part of the Earth, which is in Interstellar, so...
All right, you are not wrong.
How about we kick things off finally and ring the news bell?
News.
All right. Bing. So hopefully this week it works out a little bit better.
It's going to be a bell sound in here. Everybody
has brought their news stories to the table. I'll start with mine. How about Japan Universal Studios building a life-size Attack on Titan statue?
Yes.
15 meters tall, which is just like about 50 feet, a little over 50 feet.
This story was also sent to us sent to us by a fan as well.
Was it? Okay.
Is it going to fight the life-size Gundam?
Yeah, someday. No, it's actually a life-size statue of the female Titan.
Oh, of course.
So it's you're gonna have.
No, it's
like,
both. It's the male Titan fighting the female Titan.
Is there okay? So there's gonna be two life size Titans squaring off in Universal Studios Japan.
One's 15 meters tall and one's 14 meters.
Is there
tall.
Just gonna be a perpetual steam cloud covering their genitalia?
Yeah,
They
don't have genitalia.
The larger ones that are just like anatomy.
What?
No Titans have genitalia.
Okay, I only saw three episodes, so.
Yeah, well, the female Titan is just made all of muscle, so it's just going to be one huge...
Deep bone muscle
statue.
Don't care, still sexy.
With very broad shoulders.
Yes.
Kind of, yeah. Kind of.
Well, the shoulders are like 20 feet apart, so yes, they're quite broad.
Universal Studios, what are you doing with Attack on Titan material, eh?
Well, you see, but Universal Studios has also hosted a whole bunch of... You know, things dubbed The Real. So, like, they have... This is going to be Attack on Titan, The Real. They also had Monster Hunter, The Real. They had Raccoon City, The Real, which was that interactive thing where you go around and shoot the
zombies. Yeah.
And then there was... Saw 5, The Real.
And then there was one more.
Silent Hill?
No, it wasn't. Oh, awesome. Yeah, that would be freaking awesome. But this... It was something else. They had 4. This is the 4th installment of The Real.
Nice.
Yeah.
Who else has something?
I do. This is kind of a media news, but it is also very strange in the fact that this was found on Reddit. It surfaced on Reddit, at least, of a forum that kicked off titled "Racist Westerners Stop Imitating Us Asians and Ruining Our Superior Anime Characters by Cosplaying." So it's a YouTube channel that has surfaced that is all about anti-Western cosplaying. Where basically they're saying, see this Asian person cosplaying this Asian character, now look at this fat American, stop doing it, you're ruining my favorite characters. And it's causing this whole explosion between, you know, no, cosplay's supposed to be fun, and no, cosplay's supposed to be beautiful, kind of a thing.
So, an idiot.
Yeah, it's, obviously I'm siding with anybody should cosplay if they want to cosplay, but this
even
YouTube...
if it's just cardboard.
It can be fun and beautiful.
And I guess mixed into this article, they also have little things like what Asian people do to look like Westerners. And apparently they sell synthetic noses, synthetic plastic noses that they stick on their face to look like Westerners.
Oh, are they like the really red noses or something?
No, just really big.
Yeah,
really big, really long.
Yeah, pointed,
oh,
rounded.
Oh, yeah, no, I remember those, yeah.
A Japanese airline got in trouble for doing that once.
Yeah.
We talked about it on here before.
See, yeah. I don't get it. I think it's funny. Like, I think that kind of stuff is funny. And
I do, but it's... I do too, but it's out of hatred. So...
It's not out of... Well, not the noses.
Well, not the noses, no.
I mean, that's... I mean, Japanese humor is very, very un-PC, very... They can basically say whatever they want and not get in trouble, where here, if we were to do anything like that, the second you do it, you get sued and show up on Jezebel. You know?
The Lich is looking for his right now, I think. But
my news would be more so of Naruto ending.
That's not news.
It's really not. Everybody,
do you want to talk about it?
I wouldn't mind talking about it.
Do you want to talk about it, Glitch?
Yes, I'd like to talk about it.
Let's talk about it. How do you feel?
Eh. when the movie comes out, I might be a bit more excited, but it ended in a very shonen-esque expectation. Okay, spoiler warnings, but if you've never watched an anime, then these wouldn't be spoilers for you. But, yeah, you know, Naruto becomes Hokage, and they show what happens like 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 years in the future.
I don't think that was two, three, four, five. That was a lot of years in the future.
Who knows at a time?
They had a full-blown like skyscraper city behind the village now.
You can build that. You know how much stuff in ninjutsu you can build in a couple of the,
exactly. That's true. They could just
ninjutsu, my friend.
They could just do shadow clone jutsu to a building.
And we want one of these. And some of the buildings.
They probably could.
But yeah, it pretty much ended like if you read or looked at any deviant fan art that's not, you know, Sasuke and Naruto, people got hooked up with, they expected to get hooked up with. Or,
yeah.
There was a lot of OTPs, I believe.
That's what I saw on Facebook, was everywhere like, I'm terribly disappointed by the end of Naruto. Naruto and Sasuke did not get together.
Although, one thing I did find a little cute was that Sasuke and Sakura's daughter seems to have a crush on Naruto's son.
Spoilers, by the way.
Yeah.
He said that before.
Yeah, he did say that before. Well,
Choji got jungle fever.
Yeah, Glitch and I were talking. We couldn't figure out who the chick was that Choji ended up with, but it was a dark-skinned girl that I don't remember at all.
And Rock Lee and Tintin was predictable, but not like... Who's the cat chick or whatever chick it was that Kiba was with? Because I don't remember seeing her at all.
The cat chick? I
don't even remember. Andrew, who was the cat chick?
Yeah, Andrew.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Like, Kiba's with some girl talking to her, and like, I don't know if they're married, dating, or what the hell ever. They didn't even mention Shino, bug guy.
Oh, yeah.
What happened to Ino?
She ended up with Sai, didn't she?
Yep.
The drawing dude, the weird, her and Sai ended up socially awkward dude.
All right, what happened to Shikamaru?
He married the wind chick.
Yep, the chick with the big fan, which was pretty obvious.
Oh, Tamari?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, basically what they said would what they predicted would happen from episode one when they were in that fighting tournament together.
Basically, like I said, if you've seen any... These aren't really spoilers once you really think about it.
Because as soon as you saw that fighting tournament, you were like, I chipped them.
It's not like Naruto and Tenten. Like, holy shit, I didn't see that coming.
What happened?
What did Shinata do?
I hope it explains it in the movie.
One thing that I thought was cool, even though it really didn't, like... have that big a part of the story, was that Kakashi was Hokage for several years.
Yeah. He just retired because, like, you know what? Fuck it.
Because I was like,
I'm not the main character.
Yeah, after their fight, Hokage, or,
there was a space.
Kakashi was the Hokage for a period. I was like, oh, that's interesting. Because I would have just expected that Naruto would have immediately become Hokage.
And Sasuke is doing his normal, you know, be a kind of a loner thing.
Yeah.
He's either way, I'm
nice
really
now,
happy.
But peace out.
Either way, I'm really happy to hear that they did an epilogue. I think every single story ever written needs an epilogue, just so you know what happens after. Like, I hate it when stories just end. Huh?
They're doing it for the movie, and they might, you know, pull a DBZ and expect, you know, Naruto's children to pick up on the legacy or that kind of aspect.
Well, did you not hear that there is actually going to be... I didn't actually read into this, but I just saw that there's going to be a sequel miniseries.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, I heard that they were picking up another Naruto series. That sounds cool to me.
I don't know if that's going to be with the young kids now, or if it's going to take place in the time between the epilogue and the fight that they had.
Yeah, they didn't say.
Sounds good to me. I actually kind of want to read into that and see the whole ending.
Very
cool. Well, congrats to Naruto and the writer. You can finally rest your hands.
Yeah,
now it only took you like 15 years.
And like,
get on this
finally,
shit.
Like,
start ending.
An ending, you know, like an actual ending. Like, it wasn't just like, and it's over. The end.
And
like, he actually wrote an ending for
it. I'm still going to call out Bleach. It's not like you're saying, hey, we're planning on ending. We're going to end this. 2 years later, not a goddamn thing has happened.
Yeah,
like Naruto, like the same, like what, a month before?
Like, oh yeah, it was like, I think it was like 2 months. It was like, yeah, we're ending in November. It was like, what?
Like, what?
Holy shit, they're ending.
Yeah.
So, who wants to do the next news piece?
Well, I think we'd mentioned that we had a double news story that we both picked.
That's right. Go ahead, Dylan. You can start it off.
It was that Hayao Miyazaki is getting an honorary Oscar, or well, an honorary Academy Award.
Yay!
Thank goodness.
Well, but it's not a real one, though, and that sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but he's getting recognized.
He is, but, like, he should actually have an award in his hands.
Well,
like,
you know he won an Oscar for the only movie you guys haven't seen yet?
For Spirited Away.
Oh, for Spirited Away.
Yeah.
Well, even so, I want other Japanese directors to get recognized to Mamoru. So
here we go.
And the Oscar goes to...
There we go.
All right, still got the sound effects going strong. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But he said that Miyazaki basically was talking a lot about how he's going to be doing short films now for the Ghibli Museum that he's going to set up.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool. It's kind of like a retirement plan. You know how when old people retire now, they get jobs still, and they can only work a certain amount of time? So he's not doing feature-length stuff, but he's doing short stuff.
Yeah, there's this really funny quote, or at least I found it funny, that he said, and this is from Miyazaki, one of the good points of making such short films is that I don't have to worry about them having financial success. And he goes on to say that, the people who come to the museum are forced to see this film when they go into the little theater there. So even if it's a little bit boring, they'll probably sit through it and not raise a fuss.
that's brilliant.
I thought that was an interesting take.
Yeah.
So like I'm going to say this, though.
He's just talking like an old man now, you know, old man speak.
He also mentioned that he's happy to receive the award, but this is another quote from him. It's going to be a bit of a bothersome thing for me to travel. I don't know if that's just because he doesn't want to travel or if it's health reasons or whatever, but
he's just so old.
Wait, I have a question.
Okay. For Miyazaki?
Yes. For everybody involving Miyazaki. So that means he's making shorts for the Ghibli Museum, right?
For a second I thought it was like gym shorts.
No. So they could be called Ghibli shorts, but no. They could be called giblets.
Yeah.
Giblets.
So you go to the museum to see Miyazaki's giblets.
Right. Don't be gross.
Giblets.
And then after he dies, that's actually what's going to happen. It's like, and here's his brain, and here's his kidney. Miyazaki giblets.
That was weird, man.
Yeah, that's a weird turn.
That was weird.
Hey, Glitch brought it up.
I just brought up his giblets. I didn't bring out like when he dies, what they're going to do with his body parts.
Hey, you don't know what he's going to do with his body parts.
Well, sort of speaking of dying, I was debating on whether to mention this or not. This is sort of a strange news story, but apparently there's a trend in Japan that's starting where people can basically go on this like photo shoot for their own funeral and then have a simulation of scattering ashes.
That is odd.
And
that
it's really a rising trend with the elderly, apparently. It's called Shukatsu tours, in which participants can have portraits taken for their own funerals and experience a simulation of scattering their ashes.
So what are they actually scattering when they scatter their own ashes?
I guess they basically will take them on like a cruise or something, and I guess they just throw some other people's ashes
in the water. Other people's ashes? What in the world?
It was a weird story, but there was a really nice line from a lady that they interviewed that was doing it, because her daughter lives in the United States, and she said that the ocean is connected all around the world, so I can stay with her all the time, being scattered in the ocean.
That's nice.
That was a sweet note.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. All right, cool. I got a piece of gaming news that I'm really excited about because it's about one of my favorite games of all time. Sega is re-releasing Valkyria Chronicles.
Hold on.
What?
Pause. And just hold one second.
Oh, God damn it, Dylan.
Hold on one second. Hold on one.
Shall we be?
That's the wrong one. I clicked on the wrong one first, sorry.
Okay. Yeah, Sega is re-releasing one of my favorite games, Valkyria Chronicles, for the PC. And it's going to be on Steam. And I'm really excited about that because I would play Valkyria Chronicles all the time on the PC, like, if it was at that access. It's kind of like...
I agree.
A first taste of a visual novel, because the game is, like, 36 hours long, and about 20 of it is just listening to cinematics and characters talking. And there's only about, an hour to two per battle, and there's one per chapter. It's a ridiculously long game, and you have to put in so much time. But I love it, because the RPG element, it upgrades all of your characters all at once. So as long as you, like, you can upgrade your classes all at once. So anybody who's a scout gets upgraded all the time. And yeah, like, all at the same time. All
your snipers upgrade specific characters.
Yeah. And all the characters make a difference. There's 50 characters in the game, and you have to try to keep them all alive. But if you don't, then they're dead for good. It's a end-all, be-all game. I really like it. I would totally recommend it for Steam.
Yeah, I can't wait for it to come out for the PC, because I will want to play it. I hope it comes out for Mac. I hope it has a Mac port.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Because my computer now would be able to support it.
Sega! Okay.
Nope. Wow, I know it's hard to understand, but it says silence, so just so you know.
I thought it said science.
Yeah, it's science. We're back on Interstellar? Okay.
What is going on?
So I got a funny, strange news story about a store in Japan that is being too honest with their sale price signs. They have started posting things with their overstock items saying, stock we should never have ordered.
I don't see the problem with this.
Yeah. Or a sign that says, we ordered 2,000 boxes of Choco Balls. Just FYI, last month we only sold 70.
Is this in Japanese that it says this, or is this like an English translation?
It's an English translation from what the Japanese signs say.
Okay.
It's like, help get rid of this shit.
Yeah, because I was wondering if it was just like a weird English translation that they had on a sign or something.
Right, right. No, this is actually what the kanji says.
Yeah. And
we only sold 7!
Yeah, and they put up manga, like, pictures, and one of the manga pictures is, like, a picture of the boss, who's somebody from Fist of the North Star, and then, like, a little girl for the underling or the employee, and it says, you heard me, over 2,000 units. We sold all 4,000 for those cream caramel we ordered by mistake that one time, didn't we? And the underling says, But that was just luck. And the boss says, we ordered 2,000. I will not accept any answer other than yes. And these are on the signs in the store.
Wow. That's some pretty brilliant marketing, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's almost like how could you say no? How could you say no to buying those items?
Pretty awesome.
Because, I mean, they're things for, like, candy and Pocky, you know, all that kind of stuff. Everybody likes that stuff. So when they see it at low prices, they'll be like, yeah, that's funny. I'll support them.
At least I would hope the mom and pop shop.
Yeah, support your mom and pop shop.
Like Walmart.
Oh, boy.
Boy. Since this happened a little while ago, I don't think we talked about on any of the prior episodes, was the possible casting for the Ghost in the Shell movie that's apparently still happening.
That's a good point. Yeah, we never did talk about that,
because
did we?
I don't want to talk about it, how stupid it is.
I don't think that it's that bad of a choice. I'm not that huge of a fan of Scarlett Johansson, but she's an alright actress. But, it's from the guy that's going to direct it is Rupert Sanders. The only thing I know that he's worked on was the Snow White and the Huntsman movie, which I haven't seen, so I can't really...
I've seen it. It's one of the few movies that I have never finished watching in my entire life.
Yeah.
There's a list of, like, 3 or 4 movies that I have never finished watching all the way through, and Snow White and the Huntsman is one of them.
And, yeah, and I'm not a Scarlett Johansson fan either, so I really wasn't happy about that announcement, because I really don't think she could play a good major at all.
I think she could. She's done some weird, like, independent films in the past few years that have, like... I think, like, Under Your Skin is a good example to see the range that she could possibly do, or some sort of... I haven't watched that much Ghost in the Shell, so I can't really say whether or not I think she'll be a good whatever her name is.
In my honest opinion, I think it needs to be someone older. It needs to be... it can't be, like, a young, pretty actress playing the major, because it's...
So you want, like, Meryl Streep?
Yeah, exactly. No.
Or M from 007?
Well, here, and put it this
Betty
way.
Betty White.
Yes.
Put it this way.
That would be an awesome movie.
Yes.
I follow Richard Epcar on Facebook, and he himself, you know, Bato himself said, I do not agree with Scarlett Johansson playing the major. That's all you need. For anybody who had any doubt in the past, that is all you need, Bato saying no. I do not want Scarlett Johansson to play.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like she's an okay actress, though. Like, she's a pretty accomplished actress. And I don't feel like...
She's kind of becoming that quintessential action chick, though.
I don't feel like the problem is, a lot of times, the casting. I feel like it's either the directing and the crew behind the film. Because, like, it's not like... they have to nail down the tone from the anime series for it to be a good thing. And, like, I think that's the underlying reason why a lot of these movies based on anime or video games or whatnot are really bad, because they don't capture that.
It's true. It's really true, but I don't know. I just haven't liked Scarlett Johansson in any movies that she's been in recently.
Yeah. But, I mean, it still is, like, even if they did pick the whoever you're, like, whoever could play that every character the greatest, if it still was, like, a shitty, you know, tone, a bad direction, it would not be a good adaptation.
No, definitely. No, that's absolutely true. But
cool.
That was a good discussion about that, because I think you're right. We did not address that, and that really needed to be addressed.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that all for news? Much longer.
Yeah. Is that all we got for news?
I think so. Mm. All right. So we don't really have anything what we're watching this week, because I mean we already talked about the Naruto thing, which is the major point that we wanted to bring up. So I think it's time now that we move on to our fetish of the week. Still just noises.
Fetish of the week.
Fetish of the week.
Damn it, I hate you.
Okay, so for this fetish of the week, we actually talked about... We didn't really talk about this in particular in another episode, but we did talk about anime memes beforehand. Now, this is an older meme, the pregnancy test one that has been coming up.
Yeah.
That's not really a meme. That's not really a fetish.
But it is kind of... It kind of plays along with aspects of Japanese culture. You know, the whole overlay meme, you know, you overlay something, isn't new.
Yeah, because we saw it earlier with
Subway sandwiches.
The Final Fantasy.
No, not one. Subway sandwiches. Like things like the Final Fantasy thing, and Cash for Ecchi.
Yeah, Cash for Ecchi.
Cash for Ecchi. Then there was one that had a video camera where you overlay a video camera screen, put like an anime girl in it, because, you know, nothing good comes from a video camera and a character on the other end. Well, the newest one that came out of that, as far as overlay goes, is anime character and vibrator.
Yeah, it's somebody's hand with a remote vibrating remote.
So it's, on so the it's screen. Like the opposite of the Subway one.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
It's just a character.
It's taking something nice, or no, that's the opposite. It's taking something lewd and making it less lewd, and this is the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Oh. Yeah. Okay. I get it. Yeah.
You made it. Congratulations. You made it make sense.
Yeah. It's totally a couch.
Good read. So
what?
When
it's a thing now.
So what they do is they take images from anime and like say there's like a scene where girls are like running in gym class or something like that and they look out of breath and they're tired or something like that. You just stick the vibrating remote on there and well they're tired about something else.
Yeah.
You know. So it does kind of change the subject of it, and that's kind of what the video camera one did too, where for some reason if you stick a video camera screen in front and you know it's a certain kind of scene, it's like oh what are we doing, starting a porno here?
Yeah, exactly. It changes the subject matter. No, really.
I'm laughing at just what John said. Like, yeah, what are we doing, starting a porno here?
walk into the room. Oh, I guess we're doing a porno in here. Huh?
What are you folks doing in here, starting a porno? Hey,
I think that's how all of porno starts, right? It's like,
hey, starting a porno or what?
You know? It's just a guy walks into a room. He's like, ah, what are you doing in here? Starting a porno, I see.
His name is Vinny.
Yeah,
and that's how all porno is made.
He's wearing an oversized suit and a fedora.
And he's got a pretzel
for a cigar.
He actually has a shaved head and an earring and kind of a shadow or like a 5 o'clock shadow, but not really.
That sounds like more modern. I think the one and that Dylan was describing was from the 40s.
And his life is in black and white.
Well, he's colorblind. Why would you make fun of that?
What?
Hello, okay.
So he's a dog now?
Men can be colorblind.
No, that's not true.
Yes, again.
That's not
okay.
True. That's false.
It is. And that was your Japan Fetish of the Week. Hold on. Almost done. Wait for it. Wait for it. Okay. So what's next?
Into the West.
Into the West.
Oh, hold on.
All right, got it.
We'll be here a while.
Yeah. No. That's not even the right sound effect.
I'm trying to school and I keep hitting the button. Sorry.
So Into the West. Has anybody watched any cartoons that are from the West?
Goddamn horse.
Well, I'm still watching Korra.
I thought we put this horse down.
I've got an idea for this guy. Way Into the West.
You have to speak up. We can't hear you over the horse.
Shoot the damn horse.
Oh, he's done.
But yeah, I'm still watching Korra and, you know, Ninja Turtles and whatnot. But everybody knows about. I wanted to talk about the Avatar series, Legend of Korra, but that got me wondering. Like, a lot of people don't consider that one an anime because it's made in the West.
Yep.
And, like, people have this whole issue with, like, what makes an anime other than just location? What do we call Western anime-style cartoons?
Well, it couldn't just be a cartoon because, I mean, the literal definition of anime is animation. Yeah. It's such a thin line because anime, you typically refers to a country of origin.
Yeah, it's synonymous with it being an actual Japanese cartoon.
But honestly, all it means is cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I understand that, but, like, people just won't consider Western cartoons anime, especially if they take some of the quote-unquote anime tropes, you know, how Teen Titan used to do, or the new Ninja Turtles does now, and...
Yeah, see, I don't consider Avatar The Last Airbender an anime, but I don't really think it needs to be considered anime, especially because it's actually made in Korea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, most anime...
Most anime is outsourced to Korea, but I'm just saying, like, you know, it's a Western cartoon... Animation's done in Korea. It's none of it's from Japan, other than it had a Japanese dub to it. So it's really not an anime. It's just a cartoon. I have some Into the West stuff. But Glitch, you can. Are you done?
I'm done. Go ahead.
Okay. So this isn't like West. It's just Western culture. Actually, no. This does count as North America. Wakfu.
Oh yeah.
So Wakfu season 2. Season 1 was put out on Netflix a while back. And this was after the whole Kickstarter thing. I funded the Kickstarter, so I'm going to be getting my season 1 and season 2 on Blu-ray, which I can't freaking wait for. But season 2 was finally put onto Netflix. And when they put season 2 onto Netflix, it actually has both the choice of English and French with English subtitles.
That's amazing.
It is. It's absolutely amazing, because they only put the English on for season 1.
Yeah.
On Netflix, and they got the feedback saying, no, I really want to listen to the French.
Yeah.
And that's actually where I'm sitting. I really want to listen to the French. I love the French dub.
Yeah, guys, if you've never heard French cartoons or seen French cartoons, they have really, really high-quality stuff. Especially Wakfu. Wakfu is it's a fun game, but the cartoon is way better.
Yeah, and I really gotta say, like, I'm just a huge Wakfu fan, and I honestly think that if there were more cartoons in French, like, I love French dubs. Like, French dubs are gorgeous to listen to. They're so good.
Yeah, the audio is really clean, and the actors and actresses are very good at their dubbing. So it's very high quality French cartoons.
So, and there you go, guys, and you can finally watch all of Wakfu on Netflix. I'm so happy.
Did anybody watch Adult Swim's new show, Mike Tyson's Mysteries?
No,
I didn't.
Oh
hear
my
about
gosh,
so.
It is the funniest thing ever. Like, okay, so it's done in Hanna-Barbera style, so it looks like Scooby-Doo and all that kind of jazz. The way that they get their mysteries is Mike Tyson has carrier pigeons that come to his home, and the carrier pigeons have notes on them that, you know, give him mysteries.
Damn, there's a lot of birds.
Yeah, and Mike Tyson actually plays Mike Tyson. He reads his script, it seems like, on the first take, and they just take it, so he's always jumbling his words. Like,
yeah, it's wicked funny.
Jim Rash, who plays the dean from Community, is a gay ghost. A closet gay ghost.
I don't think he's gay.
Well, he's a closet gay. At least that's what Norm MacDonald, who plays a talking pigeon. And then Mike Tyson has an 18-year-old Asian daughter who was adopted and told him that when he found her on his doorstep,
I found you, my doorstep.
As a baby, she said that you must always live up to your dreams. That's why he became a mystery hunter. And so Cormac McCarthy, who is an author,
probably one of the greatest American authors in the past couple decades.
Yeah, he sends a carrier pigeon to Mike Tyson and his
Cormac
group
McCarthy
and,
does really.
Yeah. Yeah. And
yeah, it's wicked funny.
And he unrolls the piece of paper, and it's just covered in words. It's just full on text, yeah, like on the piece of paper. Yeah. And Mike Tyson opens up. Damn, these are a lot of words.
It just keeps going on. It just keeps going on like this.
Yeah. And so they have to go to New Mexico, and or no, Mexico. They go to Mexico because they have to fight the Chupacabra. And
yeah, no, it seriously. Jonathan and I were watching the first episode and could not stop ourselves from laughing the whole entire time.
This is real. Oh,
it's
my God.
It's so funny. It's the funniest show that we've seen.
And, there was one part. The best joke in the episode for me was when Mike Tyson gets all excited because he runs after the Chupacabra who steals who kidnaps Cormac McCarthy. And who turns out to be a centaur.
Spoilers, by the way.
And Mike Tyson gets all excited because he's never punched a chupacabra in the world. So he's super excited about being able to punch a chupacabra, which he calls like Chupanabra.
Yeah, he can't.
And then so Norm Macdonald he runs after the Chupanabra, and Norm Macdonald as a pigeon's just sitting there and he goes, that's a really hard word for him.
Yeah, Chupacabra's a really hard word for him.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
You guys have to watch
it. Now I gotta see this.
Yeah, highly recommended. You have to watch Mike Tyson Mysteries. Is that the end of Into the West?
That is the end of Into the West.
Here we go.
Get the horse.
Okay. So next up we have Toy Shelf.
Yep, we have...
We found some stuff for Toy Shelf that's pretty... I want to talk about what I'm excited for in Toy Shelf. There is a new Kotobukiya statue for the Marvel series. It is B-Shojo She-Hulk. Yeah. I like my girls with muscles. And she's got...
Word.
I don't know.
High five, Glitch.
What are you talking about? Yeah. Like, I thought, I don't know. Muscle chicks are not...
Well, not like supreme muscles, not bodybuilder muscles.
Not
but
speak for yourself. Okay.
Yeah, see, and that's what I was talking about, Glitch. Like... there's two different types of muscle girls. There's girls that are tone, and then there's girls that are like, just not good.
Yeah, but I like girls with muscles, and I like some really nice tone legs too. You know, so B-Shojo She-Hulk. Yeah, that's my jam.
I'm waiting for Kotobukiya to release all their new Street Fighter stuff.
They made Juri so weird, though. Like, I mean, the new one that's coming out is Juri, but they, like, increased her cup size by, like, three sizes.
Yeah, don't care. Still, Juri's my fighter, so I'm going to stick to it. I'll probably get it. But Sakura is coming out as well, eventually.
She's going to have more back problems when she gets older.
Yeah. all them kicks that she throws?
All right. So, next up on the toy shelf, for those of us who have been following the anime Parasite... You know, based off the old 80s anime that's coming out this season. They are releasing Migi, who is...
The right hand of the character.
Yeah, so who is the actual Parasite character in the show. They're releasing a figure of him. It's a posable figure, but it's more of a figure of when he's in, like, battle form. So he's, like, all made of blades and stuff.
Man, I think that, like, from the anime, Migi is just the ugliest character.
Yeah,
I mean, like,
straight up.
Like, yeah, but it's kind of cute, you know, in the way that, like, they have... The character Migi is done by this, like, 14-year-old Japanese beatboxer girl. And she's, like, a famous beatboxer in Japan. And she's got a voice acting gig for this anime, which is... That's pretty cool.
Yeah, because... And they kind of use it, too, because whenever Migi attacks, it makes, like, beatboxing sounds, like, with the mouth... Or, like, mouth sounds.
Yeah.
So, like, they had her do that. It was really interesting. So there's a figure of that. And finally, next up... They're coming out with a Sword Art Online 2, a couple Sword Art Online 2 figures, one of which is the female Kirito figure. So they have a female Kirito, and then they have Shion. There are so many Shions being released now that she's showing up in Sword Art Online 2. But the newest one that's coming out is a swimsuit figure of her. Surprise!
Yeah. She's the one of the characters that becomes the cat girl in the other...
Yes, she is, and I'm waiting for them to release a cat girl.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that I saw, too, is that they're putting up pre-orders for a Kill la Kill Satsuki-wearing...
Sungetsu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I thought that looked pretty nice. It didn't look like a Studio Trigger design. It actually looked like a third-party designer made that costume, but it still looks nice.
Yeah.
Still got big eyebrows.
And, I think one I think one of the things that I'm just going to touch on before we move on... to the Tamagotchi
just because it's all Monster Hunter related. One of the things on pre-order that I find in the toy list is they're releasing pen sets of Monster Hunter weapons. So like they have,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so they're ballpoint pens, but in the shape of Monster Hunter weapons that you can build in the game.
That sounds really encumbersome, though.
I mean, yeah, like, they seem like
there are really big, bulky weapons in that game. It's not like you can get a good grip on them.
Yeah, they're weird shapes.
I wonder if that's going to be a design flaw. We'll find out.
And that's the toy shelf.
What if we don't that have was a the like point so of the game? Was you find monsters, kill them, and then you get writing utensils?
Yeah, it would be like typing of the dead. It would just be like writing of, I don't know. Monster Hunter writing.
Monster writing.
You could
monster
have, like, famous authors be the characters. Like Charles Dickens.
I understand.
And Cormac McCarthy team up.
And it's time to move on to our Tapagotchi.
Yay!
Yeah, so this episode we want to discuss main characters. What we like, what we dislike about main characters in anime. And there's a lot of tropes that go around here. I know not many people like the word trope, Andrew. But tropes are a thing. There are a lot of cliches that happen in anime that create main characters.
It's kind of cliche to talk about tropes, though.
Yeah. For starters, they always sit at the back of the class next to the window.
And staring at the window during class.
Well, it's easier to animate, isn't it?
It's easier to animate.
Yeah, they're always the loner.
Yeah, they don't have to animate everybody else in the classroom if
they're not always sitting in the back.
Well, these are the most anime heroes are that misunderstood character that everyone talks about or has rumors for it, or he's that delinquent.
Right. Here's my thing. We can start at this place. My favorite kind of main character is in coming-of-age stories. I like characters from, like, well, obviously Fooly Cooly because it's my favorite, now to growing up in this town where nothing happens, and then, like, Gurren Lagann, Simone is a little kid who's afraid of everything, but he learns to become a leader of, like, people who are saving the Earth. You know, I love those kinds of main characters because, yeah, they're scared, but they grow up into heroes. And that's a cool story. You know, everybody kind of wants to do that in their life. I think it's almost like a fantasy of some sort that, you know, you want to grow up to become a hero. So it's a good, relatable story.
Yeah.
I think I agree with you on that. Like, I really liked Renton's character from Eureka 7. But
yes, good example.
The problem is that you will sometimes run into a character that will stay a child for far too long. And it's
like
not
Shinji from Evangelion.
Or like Naruto.
Or like Naruto. Thing is, Naruto always wants to be a hero. That's the difference. Naruto wants to be a hero. He's not afraid of it.
He does become sort of like more grown up and badass in certain parts of Shippuden, but
takes a really long time.
Yeah, it took, you know, a while.
about 1,000.
About 700 chapter. Well, no, that was just Shippuden. So. Oh, yeah, that might have been both of them. I forget how they did it.
I don't know anymore.
Who cares?
Yes. It's over.
It's over. We don't have to think about it anymore.
I think that one of my least favorites was probably the character, the main character, especially male characters that are too timid. Like, in harems they always end up with these characters who are like, oh, it's a misunderstanding, and then they get punched, you know? One of the things that I wanted to mention was this season there's a new anime out called Trinity 7 where it's about a magic school, and the more in touch with your emotions you are, the better you are at magic. And the school is mostly
I'd be so bad at magic.
this school is mostly filled with women
each villain
because
mean like a certain element or type of magic, because we don't be good at certain ones.
No, this school is filled with mostly women because women are more in touch with their emotions. That
and
therefore makes them better.
He'd be perfect for one.
It makes them better as mages. So this dude ends up going to the school because he's in touch with his emotions because he's not afraid of the harem tropes. For example, one of the best jokes in the series was there's one morning where he wakes up and there are two naked girls in his bed. And the uptight girl character comes walking into the room and is like, oh, what are you doing with those girls in your bed? And then, like, he stares at her for a second and then his character comes to a realization. He goes, oh, take off your clothes and jump in bed with me. And that completely shattered the harem trope for me, which I thought was a brilliant move. The anime is only subpar. I would give it like a 6 out of 10. But the main character is completely different and breaks all standards that are of harem characters, which I love. That's what keeps me watching it.
Yeah.
I like snarky assholes.
Yeah, that is a really good character type, I believe.
Like Yusuke Urameshi is still like one of my favorite snarky assholes hero anime guys.
Well, and it's kind of like Joseph Joestar, too, from the second part of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, where, I mean, he's like the trickster character, but he's always a step ahead of whoever he's fighting.
He can kick you, like, he acts like he can kick your ass, and he can follow through on it. Like, yeah. he tells you, I'm going to kick your ass, and then he does it.
But he does it in, like, the most sarcastic way ever. You know, like, he jokes with you, and he...
Well, one of my most favorite Joestar secret weapons, run away!
Yeah. You know? I don't know, what other characters can you think of that are like that?
Spike.
Spike, absolutely.
Pretty much just about any hero that Steve Blum has voiced. Once you really think about it.
What's his name from Samurai Champloo?
Mugen?
Yeah.
Mugen. Yeah. That's actually really true. I totally forgot that Mugen was like that.
Well, then on the other side, where you have Gene. Yeah. You have Gene, who's the silent type who can also kill you, which is almost the same thing kind of like Kenshiro from Fist of the North Star.
They always pair those two together all the time, too.
Yeah, that's a very common character, I think, in Japanese stories in general.
Like the wild, snarky asshole and the cool, calculated person.
Yeah, the cool, calculated, glasses. Very, very silent, very, very like... You can tell that they're probably very strong, but...
Or they hated each other at first, and they got together, like, oh, you can be a good rival, let's partner.
I don't know. Yeah, they kind of still hated each other by the end of that series, though.
It was a friendly rivalry, though.
It was a friendly rivalry. Yeah, it was one of those things where they didn't admit that they kind of liked each other, but they, you know, whatever.
Yeah, fan fiction's everywhere.
Anyway.
Well, one thing that I wanted to talk about anyways was the Kenshiro character type, which is kind of like the end-all be-all character. You know that he's going to win, and you know that no one can beat him. Which is, I'm okay with. I've always been okay with that. I remember back when we were way younger, when we saw the first iteration of the Ghost Rider movie.
Oh, yeah.
And, like...
As terrible as that movie was.
Yeah.
Wait, with Nicolas Cage?
Yeah.
Ghost Rider himself... Where is this going? The Ghost Rider himself was pretty cool, even though he was pretty much unstoppable. Like, there was nothing in the world that could stop
him. Like, every time somebody even tried to go near him or touch him or, you know, beat him, he would just be like, nope, forget it.
Well, I think the IRS can stop him.
That's Nicolas Cage, man.
but the thing is... hated that movie because it was like, oh, he's so unstoppable. Like, what are we gonna, like, who cares? Do you know he's gonna win? I kind of like that in a character. When you see a character come on screen, like when you see Kenshiro crack his knuckles and you know that the fight is already over.
Yeah, that guy's in trouble.
I like that.
Goku shows up.
Yeah.
I don't know, but Goku...
Has died. Goku's died.
Yeah, and he's taken he takes a really, really long time.
But the thing is about Dragon Ball Z is, it's in a different way, he may not win, but you know he's always going to be okay. It's sort of similar, but different, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but then definitely. Again, the problem with that kind of anime is the reason why it takes so long. Like, if you already know that outcome's going to happen, then why draw out these fights for as long as they do?
You know what I mean? Though.
That's why I think Kai is.
Yeah, suspense.
But for cash money?
Yes, that too.
But if you know the answer, then why is it's not suspenseful?
Well, and that's actually the interesting thing why they even released Kai. Because if they, you know, because Kai kind of, you know, breaks it down. Like, you know, Krillin beats Frieza, or other way around. Sorry.
yeah, what? Oh,
whoa.
Yeah.
What have you been reading? It changed a lot, Kai.
Frieza transforms and beats Krillin in one episode. As opposed to the 5 episodes it took.
Yeah.
They may have just done that because fans might have been clamoring for something like that, where, like, it's like everyone knows that Dragon Ball Z is like, renowned for just dragging things out.
Oh, man.
Dragging Ball Z. okay.
dragging its balls.
Easy.
Wow, we just made Glitch groan. Yeah. That's something special. Noted here in episode 52 of the podcast.
Oh my god. Wow. So, that's usually Dylan's job, you two.
But this is getting weird.
Yeah, we never talked about where we haven't yet cover any female characters. We haven't covered, like, female main characters as to what kind of tropes we like of them.
Michelle from Terraformers is awesome!
Yeah, the new season, this Terraformer, like, all of the main characters are really good, balanced characters.
Yes. Have you guys... Probably not, right? Have either of you seen Terraformers?
Nope.
Highly recommended free on Crunchyroll.
Yeah, it is some... That is hot stuff.
Really good season. Really good action anime.
Yeah, it is solid. And it actually even may peek into the manime section.
Don't tell Sean that, though, because he won't watch it.
Yeah. but, no, the characters are... Like, the character development is really strong.
Super violent.
Yeah, for the characters that survive, this show is very shameless in being like, oh, hey, that character is dead now, in a very Game of Thrones type of way.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of depressing because it's about like the war between mutant cockroaches and humans on Mars.
Because they terraform Mars.
Yeah, and they talk about vermin, you know, like basically the mutant cockroaches on Mars view humans as we view cockroaches here on Earth, you know, where they're just vermin and they have to be killed and destroyed.
You stomp on them.
And that's what happens to a lot of the characters in the show.
Like main characters.
Yeah, like, they're literally treated like vermin. Like, and that actually makes me so uncomfortable, and it's really actually upsetting to watch, like, just humans being slaughtered for no reason.
Yeah.
So it's a really violent show. It's really, like, peeks into some really moral structures of different things. It's really creepy.
That being said, for female characters, I am not really a fan of, like, the emotionless types. You know how, like, we were talking about Jean from Samurai Champloo? I'm not really a fan of that, as in, say, Akame from Akame ga Kill.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. It's a weird balance where, like, my girl characters have to be bubbly and full of emotion. And if they don't have that, then it's kind of, like, flat and uninteresting.
I don't know. I like Akame from Akame ga Kill.
I prefer no nonsense.
No, well, no nonsense is different than no emotion.
Yeah. I'm saying my favorite one, like, the no nonsense character.
So then, Glitch, you should check out Michelle from Terraformers, because that is, like, the straightest no nonsense female character I have ever seen. Definitely one of my favorite new character crushes. Like,
well, there's
a bunch
of roaches involved in this anime. I hate roaches.
Well, then it's all the better when they start killing the roaches. Seriously, dude, you Terraformers is a solid anime. It's really good, and it's kind of like along the lines of Michelle is along the lines of Mikasa. Like how the way I was having like a super crush on Mikasa when Attack on Titan was coming out.
Yeah.
Same line as Michelle.
And see, that's why I think that I was kind of straying away from Mikasa in the beginning, because she didn't have any emotion, and I honestly didn't even connect with her character until I heard it in English.
Yeah.
Because it was just like there wasn't enough there to go on. Yeah, I don't know. I like spunky, sporty kind of girl characters, you know. They have to, like, Tomo from Azumanga Daioh, where she always comes to the room, "Hi, everybody!" You know, like, that sort of, like, emotion.
Kind of like tomboyish characters.
I guess so.
I mean, I love it. I mean, it seems like in Japanese culture, there's a lot of tomboyish characters, tomboyish females, which I'm totally okay with, because I love tomboy characters. I think they're so awesome.
Tomboy catgirl?
Yes. There are, yes, actually.
Is that the name of your band?
Kind of does sound like a band, huh?
I think it would be a better album name.
It would,
for the like the second or third CD.
Tomboy Cat Girl's first album, Totally a Couch.
It's not a love seat, it's a couch.
Defining Dylan's couch.
Anyway, yes. Yeah, there are a lot of catgirl characters that are also tomboys, i.e. Aisha Clan Clan.
Oh yeah, Aisha Clan Clan. That's a good character. Yeah, but then again, I don't really connect with the assassin character from.
Yeah, I was about to say that the assassin character is similar to Jean in the more quiet, calculated sense.
But I think for now, it's time to find out what we've learned today on this episode.
Hang on. Hang on.
Hurry up.
Hang on.
What, are we going to kill the horse again?
It's time for sentimental anime. Today on Wicked Anime, I have learned that Dylan's couch, regardless of how many people sit on it or how close they are together, it is always going to be a sofa. What I have learned today is that if you have overstock in your shop,
You can sell that overstock in your shop by being overly sarcastic about it, especially if they're giant Reese's peanut butter cups.
The piano stopped playing?
You messed it up, John Lennon. Who's next?
We're just jamming out, man.
just swaying back and forth.
Yeah, we're... No, it's done. Oh, what?
What I learned is... What I learned today at Wicked Anime is... Mine and Dylan's relationship is not as close as I thought it was. This always felt like a love seat to me. Now it's only a couch.
Did anybody have any non-couch related things that they learned?
I already did mine.
I learned that,
Is that it?
Yeah, probably. I was gonna do some couch related, but, since that one last, that didn't work out so well, so I learned I should go first.
Well, now we know for next time. And that is what we have learned on today's podcast. Thanks, everybody.
Even though you can beat a dead horse constantly, it can somehow come back to life and take for fucking ever to do a reintro.
Eating hay. I've learned that a horse really likes hay. Every week.
Every week, hay.
Okay, it's time for some fan service. What did our fans shell out to us this week?
Okay, so this week we got a couple from Scott. Our wicked fan Scott sent us a news story of Moe of the North Star. Apparently there's an art competition going on in Japan where people are doing art Moe versions of the Fist of the North Star characters. And that's it. That's really all it is.
That's scary. How does that even work?
I don't know. I have no idea how it works, but I guess some people aren't really too happy about it. I don't know if that includes the creators or not, or if the creators are kind of in on it. But
no madness. Yeah,
exactly. Some people are just like, no,
you can do
Moe
dictators, you can do Moe Fist of the North Star.
Yeah, I mean, come on, really. I think that would be a more appropriate way to do it.
And then in return, he also tweeted at us a picture of Kiss of the North Star, the rock band Kiss, just like all the Fist of the North Star and Kiss makeup.
That's amazing.
It is pretty funny. We can
Charlie Crist of the North Star.
Over on Facebook, what's funny?
He's a Florida politician. Just
oh, thank goodness those ads are over now.
So Anna sent us her recommendation. The last time she talked to us was her recommendations and her excitement for anime this season. Where she also said, hey, you guys should put some better sourcing in your...
That was my fault. I dropped the ball on the last episode. Hopefully it'll be fixed soon.
Wait, wasn't
by
that
me.
Garrier's thought as well?
Yes, he also commented on that on our SoundCloud. We'll get to that in a second. I dropped the ball last week, and I didn't add any links whatsoever to anything that... I usually try to do, like, our most biggest ones and important ones, interesting ones, etc. But I didn't, because... I've been lost in my new full-time job, and it's been really tough.
Yeah, now both Jonathan and I both have full-time jobs, and it's really, really rough.
Working for the weekend.
Pretty much. Yeah. Have you never worked for the weekend?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
Weekend's a nice, Weekend's a nice boss.
What?
Or you used to work for the weekend.
The weekend is a nice boss.
The weekend is okay.
He made a dad joke.
Yeah, that is a dad caliber level joke.
Anyway, so Anna sent us that Yona of the Dawn, which is the shoujo one that she said that we should watch.
Which I have been watching.
Yeah, you have?
I've continued to watch it. I've caught up on it.
Is it good?
Yes, it is very good. I think I talked about it last week, didn't I?
The last time you talked about it, you said you weren't too sure on it. You know, you're gonna watch it a little bit more.
Yeah, it's got better. It's slow moving. That's definitely a thing. Definitely slow moving. They haven't met up with any of the new characters.
Did we mention that we didn't do what we're watching because we're all just watching the same stuff?
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I think we did.
We did skip past it, but we didn't say that necessarily. That's why we didn't talk about what we were watching, because we were watching everything that we were watching last week. Nothing.
And we kind of touched on it, like, in that thing I said, we were watching Terraformers and whatever. So it's fine. She said,
I'm sure it's fine.
I'm sure it's... She touched on Parasite, where she said that she wasn't really excited about Parasite coming out this season. where I was totally opposed to that, where I said, or the opposite of that, where I said I was actually very excited for Parasite. She said she conceded her answer a little bit to say that it is very well done. It's not her favorite this season, which is totally fine.
Not everybody's cup of tea.
No, it's definitely not. Especially after last episode, I am just totally like, holy crap, I need a rest from that.
It's violent, it's sad at times.
It's very sad, it's very depressing, and its moral structure is very, very much like Terraformers, where they're treating humans as vermin, again. For some reason, that doesn't sit well with me. It makes me very uncomfortable. And then she goes on to talking about Log Horizon Season 2. She really liked Log Horizon Season 1, and when Season 2 came out, Season 2 is... they switched studios.
Yeah, they switched over to Studio Dean.
And Studio Dean is very synonymous? I don't know. Is very infamous for making bad shows.
And sausage.
God damn it.
Studio Jimmy Dean?
Studio Dean working on the second season of Log Horizon, she says it's falling flat, which is really, really upsetting.
Yeah, especially because she also mentioned that the Log Horizon animation wasn't the best thing to begin with. When it switched over to Studio Dean, it didn't help.
But she did mention that the first season of Log Horizon was picked up and is getting an English dub.
Interesting.
So what she's talking about is they made some interesting choices from the clips that you saw. The giant cat man that's in it, named Nyanta-san, who was like an older sounding dude who was very gentlemanly and very soft spoken, is now being played by an African American voice actor in English, and it changes the dynamic in a completely different way.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have to see because we haven't heard the English yet.
No, she. There are clips of it, and she says.
So it completely changes his character almost.
Kinda. It's just different. It's the same character, but it sounds different because instead of some of the lingo is different. Let's see.
How do you define the race of somebody who is covered in fur anyways?
Well, that's what we were talking about. She said, does this kind of add to our list of black anime characters? And I said, well, because it's Log Horizon, all those are just avatars. So the person who's actually playing that avatar is probably an African-American character. But the cat character himself is not African-American, but the player is. And it was like this weird... Like, I don't know if it is or not. Who knows? Pretty good. She said we got a lot of really, really long messages on Facebook.
Yeah, paragraphs. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Tomes.
Sonnets.
Ballot.
Sonnet boom!
Dun-na-na. Really? Dun-na-na. Really good. It's
Shakespeare. Sonnet boom?
Sonnet boom, that's Shakespeare's Shakespeare move.
And now I'm picturing just a picture of William Shakespeare with the blonde flat top.
Oh,
I hate you so much right now, Dylan. I hate you.
That sounds awesome. Anyway, so
boom. How do I compare you to something? All
right, so Big Bad Shadow Man also messaged us and wanted to give us a correction that we totally flubbed on.
Last week's toy shelf.
Yeah, Big Bad sent us a thing saying that, hey, Gamora is not a Godzilla enemy. Gamora is an Ultraman enemy. Whoops! I totally messed that up. I'm sorry. Yeah, that was totally my bad.
But that's what we have our fans for.
Yeah, exactly. We have you guys to correct us. So
it's not like we actually do research.
Yeah. So thanks, Big Bad. You thank you for that. Now everybody knows.
Big good job.
That's really quiet. He also says he really likes the new segments.
Cool, I'm glad.
And then we got a message from Keto. Basically just
kept it short and sweet.
Kept it short and sweet and says, "I do not like English JoJo," and I have to agree with him. Here's what I responded to him. I basically told him that I thought they chose the perfect English voices, like they casted the perfect people to play the parts. But the production isn't necessarily there.
Yeah, it took a... It
kind of fell a little flat.
Well, they kind of had to do it pretty quick.
I imagine so. So if they went back and read it, it doesn't have the same affliction that the Japanese voices had, where they're all, like, basically scream-talking everything. Now we go over to our fan Gerardo, where Gerardo says that his favorite new section was Into the West.
Glitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way to go, Glitch.
And I had brought up Gravity Falls last time, and he had not watched any of Gravity Falls. Which is a shame, because that is one of the greatest cartoons that is on TV right now. But his first introduction to it was Seuss and the Real Girl.
Yeah.
So he watched Seuss and the Real Girl, was totally into it, and now is seeking out all Gravity Falls.
I'll be going to heaven with the angels and Grandpa.
No,
he's not there.
He's not there.
That's an actual joke on the Disney Channel, people.
He said out of all the Marvel animes that we discussed, that the X-Men anime is the best one.
No which, kidding.
Which I bought as a joke. So... now he does have a new section for us, because he sent this section over to us just yesterday to the recording. We're not adding it to this episode of the show. We're going to he sent us a lot of research, basically. So we're going to look into all the research that he sent us, see what we're going to do to break it down a little bit, and we'll talk about it on the next episode. But what he recommended that we talk about is he wants to hear a section about origins of anime, origins of series, entire series. And he sent us the humble beginnings of Naruto. Weird, right? Because that's what we were just discussing on this, after discussing the ending to Naruto. So we want to talk about, he wants to hear us talk about the very beginning of Naruto.
Like, how the show started, or just the beginning of the show?
How the show started, like, with the creators discussing things about how it's going to begin.
Yeah.
And it looks like there's a whole bunch of different history behind it, and how it has its beginnings. Okay. Very interesting stuff.
There's this really annoying yellow-haired kid. I'm sold.
There's this fox, right? Nine tails. Like, fox, no, eight tails. No, I don't think. Nine tails.
What?
Yeah. So we've already done a two-tailed fox, Japan. Come on.
So thanks for sending us that suggestion, Gerardo. We're going to look into it a lot, and we're going to see what we can do to implement it. Especially because we talked about Naruto so much this episode. It might be very appropriate to talk about the beginning of Naruto the
Believe
next episode. Believe it.
Is that all we have for fan service?
It is absolutely not.
Yeah.
So over on the Nerdy Show, our producer, Cap. So this one is actually also for Gerardo. Because if you don't listen to the Nerdy Show on the Nerdy Show website, then you kind of miss out on some of the comments that pop up there. And our producer, Cap, actually specifically made a shout out to Gerardo, saying from the hentai episode, "Hey Gerardo, EC Major is an awesome artist." So there you go, Gerardo. Our producer Cap agrees with you that EC Major is also a great hentai artist.
Okay, and I got a question for Cap. What are your favorite fetishes and hentais?
Oh snap!
That is going to be.
We just called out Cap on his favorite hentai fetishes and, and his artists and all that stuff that we talked about.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, let's see if he listens to our podcast.
All right, so over to SoundCloud, where we had Garrier talking to us. What did Garrier comment on our SoundCloud?
Well, he put right on the mark where we started doing sentimental anime that he really enjoyed that segment. I don't know if that's the exact point that he was talking about. If it's a different section, please let us know. But personally, I really like that section. I think it's so fun to just think of something
It's short and sweet, you know. I like it too.
Very Dr. Steve Rule. Garrier commented that the title of Into the West reminded him of that fight scene between Spike Spiegel and Andy the Cowboy from Cowboy Bebop. And that may or may not have also been what he was talking about, that was his favorite section. I don't know whether or not he was talking about sentimental anime or if he was talking about the other thing.
He also said that that the toy shelf was his favorite section. Thanks, Garrier.
He also said that that we should check out a podcast called The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, which I'm pretty sure I've heard of.
Yeah.
But I haven't listened to it. He said they have a similar section for Dylan called Science or Fiction.
Yeah.
And it might give us a better idea of the format that we want to go for, if it may or may not read better. And that's all we have for Garrier on SoundCloud.
And I think that's all we have for fan service.
That is all we have for fan service. Now, is that really appropriate, Dylan? Is that really appropriate?
Inappropriate.
That's all we have for fan service.
That's a cow.
Was it holy at least?
It's time to move on to some shameless plugs.
All right, guys. So if you guys want to join in on our conversation, if you guys want to tell us your favorite main character tropes, or you want to tell us what characters you are not, you do not like, you're not very fond of, email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where we have frequent updates on videos, news, anything that cool that we find around the internet. Plus, we also get to talk to you guys there. You can also find us at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, where you can find our videos and our podcast if you're not already listening to our podcast there, where you can also find our podcast on iTunes, where you can rate and review our podcast, and where you can also find us on SoundCloud/wickedanime. You can also find us at you can tweet at us at twitter.com @yowickedanime, and then you can find us on Tumblr, tumblr.wickedanime.com, whatever it is, I don't know where we tumble things. And finally, of course, you can find us at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews, where that is our main hub for Wicked Anime, where you can find all of our voice and the most important things you will ever know about Wicked Anime. I got everything, right? Did I get everything? We have so many things now.
We do have so many things.
Oh, Patreon! Nerdy Show is doing Patreon. So if you guys, even for $1 a month, if you guys want to subscribe to Nerdy Show for $1 a month, you can really help out the network, stay afloat. We're up to a good amount right now, but all you need to do is go to patreon.com and set up a monthly subscription so that we get some cash.
And you guys get cool things. Everything on the network is always still going to be free and available, except you get all the extra behind-the-scenes stuff when you... contribute to Patreon, which you get outtakes, which I'm working on some outtake reels right now that you'll be able to get in some later months.
Yeah, right.
And maybe, you know, who knows, maybe Andrew and I will throw in some artwork every once in a while. You know, maybe, I don't know. You're just going to have to throw in some coin and see what pops out.
I think another thing we have to... So that's Patreon, the Nerdy Show Patreon. The Nerdy Show Patreon does include all the shows, but if you want
to... How many times did you just say Nerdy Show Patreon?
I don't know.
It's a new thing. We kind of have to plug it.
Wicked Anime is on that same one as well. So whatever you contribute to the Nerdy Show will be contributed to Wicked Anime.
Yeah, and you can send them a message saying, like, hey, I really like Wicked Anime. Here's some money because I like Wicked Anime. And, you know, maybe that'll contribute more towards our show. And
our gold something. Ferrari chariots.
Yeah. Our rocket ships that we can go space exploring in.
Our robot limos.
Our love sofas.
They're couches, John.
And guys,
our battle couches.
I just want to make one more mention as well. I remember on the podcast, early in the podcast last time, we were talking about a Moetan that was going to show up on the front page, which obviously that did not get show up. It's because it's still in production. We jumped the gun on that one a little bit. But hey, surprise. There might be a Moetan showing up for Wicked Anime.
We might have jumped the gun again. Might be a lot of gun jumping.
Whoopsh!
Is that what it sounds like when you jump a gun?
It sounds like a cowboy thing to do.
You know, depending on the gun, you probably could just step over it.
Yeah, you don't even have to jump. You might not even have to take both feet off the ground at the same time.
No. That's all we have for the Wicked Anime Podcast this week. So thank you guys for joining us for another weird episode, crazy week. I don't know, whatever. Only way we know how.
K-Y-Y.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about Sean's favorite character from Outlaw Star.
Yeah, it starts with an S, I think.
Yeah, how come I can't remember?
Maybe something to do with the moon.
Yeah, Moonlight, moon something.
Something.
If Sean were on this episode, he would tell us. And he would be like, shut up, guys, I like that character.
Old Woodstick Lady McGee.
Moon.
Yes.
Sanso, something like that.
Some like it.
We have total access to look it up, but we're just not doing it.
Yeah, we are sitting in front of our computers right here with Google open and not typing a single word.
Yep.
Yeah.
Instead.
I have too much pride for that.
That's what I'll do instead.
Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling friends, rating and reviewing on iTunes, shopping at nerdyshow.com/store, or directly donating to the network. Any size contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show audio and images and lets you participate in our monthly support drives. To find out how you and your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more episodes of the Wicked Anime Podcast, as well as other fine programs, community forums, videos, articles, and more, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via iTunes Store, and for the latest news, follow us on your favorite social networks. We're glad to be your home for authentic nerdy entertainment.